Him if he was gay every single day he was with me. Yeah, I bet Phoenix had hated that. So, he didn't? B's cheeks stained pink. He doesn't even see me. Yeah, I highly doubted that. Phoenix may have been to hell and back, but he was still a man. My sister wasn't a child. Hell, I was having a hard enough time letting her wear a cocktail dress in public. Clearing my throat, I looked away. You'll stay here. Here, she repeated. In Chicago. Here, I licked my lips. With me and the abandonados until I take my place. B's shoulders slumped as she examined her nails, almost trying to appear indifferent about the whole thing. So, is that what you're going to do? Follow in Daddy-O's footsteps and damn us all to hell? No, I snapped. I'm going to fix it. But leave it at that, I warned. I'll keep you safe and I'll fix everything. All of it. So you're Superman now? Another step towards me, and then finally she laid her head on my shoulder. I always was fond of the cape. No. I wrapped my arm around her. Superman would find a better way to do what I have to do. And what's that? Kill a lot of people. Oh. She didn't cringe at all. Instead, she pressed closer to my side. Just do me a favor? Anything. Don't kill Phoenix. At that, I laughed. Can't kill what the devil don't want. She tensed. Did I say something wrong? He's been good to me, even though he says I'm a pain in the ass, and maybe I am. But I swear I'll kill you myself if you tell him this, but... Spit it out, B. He's the only friend I've ever had. My heart shook with injustice as my arm clenched her tighter to me. Sad when the killer becomes your friend, when the very devil is the only one keeping you company at night. What type of life is that? What type of childhood? When the darkness is your only comfort, your only warmth. I won't, I answered finally. I won't kill him. Thanks, she breathed. I mean, if anyone should get the honor, it's me. Did you know he made fun of my shoes? The absolute nerve, right? I'm surprised he's still walking. I did stomp on his foot. Mature. I thought so. B? Yeah? I don't know you well yet, but I'll protect you until I die. You know that, right? She sighed. Yeah, Tex, I know.
Chapter 54. Waking up alone is a very cold feeling, even when sunlight burns your skin. Mo. Sunlight pierced through the curtains in my dark room. It felt warm, protective. I could almost believe I wasn't dead inside. I could almost imagine a world where Tex was lying next to me. A world where the mafia didn't exist, and marriage wasn't used politically. Who was I kidding? I'd done the same thing in order to protect him. The only difference had been I loved him. I still loved him, though hate was making a huge play at trying to trump that love. I never could quite understand how he could say he could never hate me as much as he loved me. He was doing a really good job of proving the opposite of that. A knock sounded at the door. Ignoring it, I put the pillow across my face and groaned. Mo? Mill stepped into the room. I could hear footsteps. Ah, she probably brought Trace with her. Fabulous. Both of them present to witness my inability to lift my head high enough to eat breakfast or walk down the hall. Get up! Mill slapped my butt. Trace sat on the other side of the bed and gave me a concerned look. You need to shower. I'll shower when I'm ready. Which was never, but they didn't need to know that. I still had his smell on me. I wanted to keep it that way. Visions of us together plagued my sleep, until finally I just gave up and stared at the ceiling, as images of Tex's smile flashed through my mind. Trace sighed and lay down next to me. Remember when I first came to Eagle Elite? I almost laughed out loud. Yeah, I remembered. She was an absolute train wreck, that girl. Nixon was a complete ass to you. And I'm pretty sure Tex and Phoenix flipped you off to say hello. And don't even get me started on Chase. Chase was the nicest, Trace defended. Good job catching that one, Mill. He's my prize bass. Mill lay down on my other side. I'm sure he'd be happy to be compared to an ugly fish, I said dryly, knowing Chase was way more vain than any of them gave him credit for. Then again, it was for good reason. Not that I would admit that out loud. My eyes had always been for Tex. No more. You saved me, Trace whispered. I remember thinking you were insane, she chuckled. But you were so strong. I mean, you even stood up to Nixon. All I kept thinking was that I admired the person you were. Wanted to have that type of confidence, you know? I fought the tears clogging my throat, making it impossible to breathe normally. Trace kept talking. When the guys bullied me, you made them stop. When Nixon fed me tofu, you got after him. And when I found out all the dirty little secrets, you were never afraid. Just accepted things and moved on with your head held high. I was a different girl then, I whispered hoarsely. Don't be. Trace reached for my hand and held it tight. Don't let others change the person you've always been. So your heart's broken, I snorted, wanting the conversation to end. So your life's a mess, Mill added. Are you guys trying to make me suicidal? Trace sighed. So Tex is an ass. Truth, Mill agreed. So? Trace squeezed my hand tighter. What's Mo Abbandonato gonna do about it? Lie in bed until I die alone? I offered. Try again. Trace pinched me. Ouch! I pulled away. That hurt. What are you going to do about it? Her voice was stern as her eyes flashed. When have you ever let the guys tell you how to live your life or what to do? Didn't you have enough of that with your dad? I reared back as if slapped. The woman knew too much. This is different. The hell it is! Mill pushed up from the bed and crossed her arms. I'm the head of a family, too. Tex is allowing them to pull the strings on purpose. Haven't you been watching? Sergio's reaction to Tex? Phoenix's reaction to Sergio? Luca? Something isn't right. So what? We go all spy on their asses? My eyes started to water with tears. Guys, I'm done. I'm exhausted. My heart hurts. This is bigger than us. We can't just go all Harriet the Spy on them and then solve the war of the families. Trace tilted her head in amusement. We aren't solving anything. Guys, thanks for stopping by, but I think I'll stay right here. Tell her. Trace nodded to Mill. Mill pulled out her phone and pressed play. Tex's voice immediately came into focus. We stage a coup. We overthrow. Make a big scene in front of the commission. He paused. You're talking about suicide. Does anyone even know about this? Luca invited Alfonso, Phoenix whispered. You have to shoot him. There has to be a body count, and it has to be bloody.
I can do bloody. You'll have to hurt those you love. Push them away for now. It will make it easier. You can't hesitate. It has to be real, Tex. Do you get what I'm saying? Does Luca know about this? You know about this. I know about this. Luca and Sergio, Phoenix swore. Either they set me up to fail, or they're testing me. Not that it matters. I'm doing the right thing. This time, I'm doing the right thing. Horrible. Tex sighed. When death is the only way to do right. Memorize the names, memorize the photos. You won't have a lot of time to react, Tex. Remember, this is life or death. The recording stopped. Dumbfounded, I stared at Mill, and then Trace. What does that mean? We have a few theories. Mill cleared her throat. I haven't shared it with anyone. I mean, I'm not an idiot. I love my brother, but my trust? It doesn't stretch that far. I've been tailing him. Or my men have been tailing him. I don't know, Mo. When I told Trace, she said I should come to you. It's possible that things with Tex aren't exactly what they seem. And if they are? I asked the question they both were too afraid to whisper out loud, knowing that if it was true, he was lost to me forever. Then, Mill said, shrugging, he really does kill everyone, turns to the dark side, marries some Nicolazzi bitch with a giant hairy mole on her face and buck teeth, and we order a hit on her and make it look like an accident. I laughed. Laughed for the first time in what felt like forever, as Mill looked at me as if she was dead serious. I loved that girl. Just loved her. You get scarier the longer you're married to Chase. He's a really bad influence. Mill nodded, eyes wide. So much violence in one body. Impressive, really. Gross. Trace held up her hands. No more details. She turned to me. So you gonna sit and pout all day? Or can we lure you out of the bedroom with talks of coffee and homemade cinnamon rolls? I perked up. Chase baked this morning? Chase bakes when he's stressed. Mill nodded. Or not getting any. Trace groaned in her hands. Mill threw up her arms. I was tired. Last night was draining. I said no. Sue me. At least you get rolls out of it. We all win. I nodded triumphantly. Thank you for your sacrifice, Mill. Welcome. She grinned and pulled me in for a hug. Trace wrapped her arms around both of us. It will be okay, Trace said. I promise. I hope you're right. I frowned. I really do.
Chapter 55. When you don't get your way, tail a person and find out the truth. Sergio. I tried to hide the surprise on my face when Mo walked into the kitchen smiling. Chase's mouth dropped open. Apparently, I wasn't the only one shocked. Nixon kicked him under the table. We all stared at the table, me at my coffee, and then back up at Mo as she took a roll from the pan Chase just pulled from the oven and stuffed it in her mouth. Tex marched into the kitchen. I shifted uncomfortably. Damn, it was like watching a TV show. He stepped around Mo, careful not to touch her, poured himself a cup of coffee, then came over and sat with us at the table. B soon followed. And then Phoenix. I almost choked on my own roll when, in silence, everyone continued eating their meal as if last night hadn't been complete and utter chaos. Next week is Christmas, Nixon announced, not looking up from his paper. Chase, you making lasagna?
You know it.
Chase lifted his roll into the air and took a large bite out of it, moaning as he chewed.
Tex, you want to help put up decorations? I think you should still be here. Or are they shipping you off to Sicily right after the commission?
Nixon was officially fishing for information in the most upfront way I'd ever seen a man fish. I leaned forward, noting how Phoenix did the same thing, both of us waiting for Tex's answer, both for different reasons. I was told to let the chips fall, and I hated that I was putting faith in two men I really didn't like all that much. Tex gave a non-committal shrug.
Like they could ever tell me when or how I should leave.
He smirked.
I can easily decorate your giant-ass house, Nixon. Eyes closed.
Nixon chuckled and held up his coffee.
Well, I would hate to break tradition. You know how Chase likes to pretend he's helping when really he's freezing his nuts off.
It's masculine,
Chase piped up.
Nailing shit to the house.
Mill rolled her eyes.
So it's settled.
Nixon set his coffee down. It clattered against the table.
The family will all be together for Christmas. Breathing, alive, celebrating.
His eyes met Tex's. Without as much as a flinch, Tex lifted his coffee into the air and smiled.
Of course. Wouldn't have it any other way.
I almost groaned and dropped my head to the table, allowing it to bang a few times just so I felt the pain. What the hell was Luca thinking? We'd be lucky to survive that long. 4 more days until the commission, and things weren't looking better. Campisi's clan would be there, not just Alfonso, but all of them. Luca had made sure of it with his ridiculous invitation through Phoenix, which meant only one thing. Either Alfonso survived, or Tex survived. Either way, one of them would have to make an example out of the rest of the families in order to stay in power. The capo di capo didn't do small, and if Tex truly wanted to see another Christmas, he was going to have to put on the show of a lifetime. Luca had said to trust them. I trusted no one but myself. I had no choice but to drink my coffee and pretend to be ignorant of every side of the situation. The girls easily fell into conversation with each other. Everyone but Mo.
So?
B directed her attention to Mo.
You think you can help me?
I'm sorry, what?
Mo licked her lips and shook her head.
Sorry, I'm tired.
Shooting?
B grinned happily.
Trace and Mill said they'd teach me. Can you help?
Sure.
Mo set her coffee down.
That would be fun.
When she reached for her coffee again, it was at the exact moment Tex reached for another roll. Their hands collided. Awkward would be an understatement. I decided to make it worse, mainly because I could, and because after looking at the way Mo stared at Tex, I knew. She'd never be for me. I wasn't him. It was as simple as that. Didn't mean I couldn't at least get in a good jab so he realized what a complete and utter ass he was.
So the girl you're going to shack up with?
I cleared my throat.
You see her picture yet? Rumor has it Nicolazzi girls are really... bendy.
Mo's face paled as Tex pushed back his seat and stood.
I couldn't care less.
Well,
I kept poking.
You are going to marry her. I mean, the contract's been drawn up, and you'd be an idiot not to take the protection of the only family still in Sicily, right?
He closed his eyes briefly before a cruel smile plastered across his face. Phoenix nodded his head to Tex and returned his attention to the paper.
It only makes sense,
Tex puffed out his chest.
The capo di capo marrying the Nicolazzi clan? Just think, we'd be unstoppable. Hell, the Alferos, DeLangs, and Abandonados combined couldn't outbuy us, outweapon us, or stop us. I'm thinking...
He nodded and offered another smirk around the table as he walked into the kitchen.
I'm thinking it sounds good. Damn good. After all, what type of leader would I be if I wasn't fully invested in all that power?
Nixon clenched his teeth while Chase gripped his coffee cup so hard it almost splintered into his hands. Phoenix, however, appeared indifferent.
Good call, I finally said. Abandoning the family that raised you in order to join the devil. How typical of a Campisi.
Tex froze, and then slowly turned his murderous gaze on me. I had the sudden urge to jump out of my seat and run, like a complete coward.
They say a boss always has to order a first hit, Sergio. Don't make me an enemy. You don't want to know the pain I could bring you, the suffering, the absolute entertainment I'd feel at strangling you with my bare hands.
With that, he walked off. Chase let out a whistle and set down the paper.
Happy Sunday.
God's day,
Nixon added.
I've got some prayer beads if you need them, Sergio.
Chase nodded.
You know, just in case.
I rolled my eyes and leaned back in my chair. What was Tex doing? And why was Phoenix okay with it? Hell, even if I did end up dead, I'd be okay with the situation as long as it was handled in a way that protected the family. What a completely morbid thought.
Chapter 56. The Mafia, by definition, should say, happy endings die here. Tex. I had to admit, watching Sergio's shit-eating grin fall from his face as he turned the color of a ghost was probably the highlight of my week, maybe even my month. With a grunt, I punched the bag harder. I needed a way to get out my aggression, and sitting at the table with Mo, pretending not to care when she was staring into her coffee like it held the secrets of the world, hardest damn thing I'd ever done. Damn contract. I barreled my fist into the punching bag. Damn Luca. 2 roundhouse kicks, another punch. Sweat was pouring down my face.
Did you get the text?
Phoenix scared the hell out of me as he walked into the weight room and held the bag. I continued punching. You mean the text with all the pictures? Phoenix nodded slowly. You know I have a good memory, man. 6 of Alfonso's men are going to be dead by my hand come this Thursday.
And the other 14?
I paused, allowing myself to catch my breath before landing a right hook, then a left to the bag.
They're all old.
Phoenix sighed.
Kind of the point, Tex.
I stopped punching and hung my head. You're asking me to cleanse the old to make way for the new. Phoenix released the bag.
How do you suck out poison, fast or slow?
Why are we sucking poison? His eyes flashed.
Answer the question.
Fast. You have to get as much out as you can, otherwise the person loses time.
So you shoot fast, you suck out the poison. The slower you go about it, the more dangerous it becomes. Kill them all, Tex. Not one lives. That list, if it ever gets back to you, to me, to us?
He cursed and ran his hands through his hair.
It's almost like treason, you know?
Yeah. I chewed my lower lip.
I'm well aware of what we're doing. That's why they can't know.
Phoenix grabbed the back with his hands.
Now hit.
Right, left, right, left. I hit until I was completely spent, until sweat poured down my face into my eyes.
Good.
Phoenix stepped back.
Some of the targets will be out tonight. I'll text you the address. Watch them. Memorize their movements, their mannerisms. Even drunk, they'll show you their tells. But don't let them see you.
Got it.
And Tex?
Phoenix stopped halfway to the door.
Yeah?
I wiped my face with a towel.
If I'm in the line of fire, I won't hate you. Just know, I would never hate you. Rather I die than any one of those bastards live.
I swallowed.
Phoenix, were they a part of it?
I have to know.
It's not a personal vendetta, Tex.
Phoenix swore and slammed the wall with his hand.
If it was, I'd be the one doing the shooting. Just know, those men, they were with my father and with yours. If they don't die, that prostitution ring stays open. If they don't die, those weapons keep coming up from Columbia. If they don't die, it will be our heads. They won't stop until they've hunted us all down.
I wish there were another way. Phoenix let out a large exhale.
Don't we all?
One more thing.
Dude.
Phoenix hung his head.
I'm tired.
What would you do? He turned, his eyes pensive.
What would I do? If you knew you only had 4 days to live.
Red stained his cheeks before he cleared his throat and rocked back on his heels.
Whatever I'd miss the most, I'd do every damn day until it was time.
Even if it was twirling like a ballerina? I joked.
Right.
Phoenix barked with laughter.
Especially if it was that. I could dance circles around you. Don't make me prove it.
I held up my hands. Nobody needs to see that. He chuckled. I'm glad you're not dead, man. His face turned serious.
Say that after Thursday.
I was quiet as he left the room. Only then did I whisper, I will. I swear it.
Chapter 57. And when you fall down, you pick yourself up and try again. Mo. I wasn't used to lying to people that I loved. Usually, I only lied to people I didn't know. Decision made, I gripped the knives in my hand and strapped them to the inside of my thigh. I slid my black knit dress over my head and grabbed my over-the-knee Chanel boots. They'd always had a bit of space on the top, so it was easy to sneak weapons. I'm sure clothes whores everywhere were proud of my accomplishment. Slipping another two knives into the top, just in case. I grabbed my black leather jacket and shrugged it over my shoulders, then cracked my neck. My .45 was lying on the bed. With determination, I pulled the gun into my hands and loaded it, then pulled back the safety. I needed to be ready for anything. Lastly, I looked in the mirror. I didn't really recognize the girl staring back at me. She seemed afraid, and I refused to feel afraid. Inhaling deeply, I closed my eyes and focused on my own mission. If the guys were going to play blind to what was going on, that left me and only me. Regardless of where tonight led me, even if it meant I was stepping into my own grave, or maybe into the realization that Tex had never been mine to begin with, I'd at least have answers. I'd have peace, knowing I had done every single thing I could in order to secure my happiness, my family's safety, and maybe even Tex's. When my eyes opened, I saw me. Mo Abandonado, twin to one of the most powerful mob bosses in the country, in love with the freaking godfather, daughter to a slain bastard and best friend to the DeLongs. I popped my neck, the Alferos, and the Nicolazzis. God help me. I would do my job. After all, a made man is made by his first few kills, by his ability to pull the trigger without hesitating. I was finally at that moment, and it felt good. It felt freeing to let go of all the drama, all the heartache, and focus in on the bigger picture. The commission and Tex's sudden shift, along with his and Phoenix's plans. I sent a quick group text to everyone telling them I was going out for a run and opened my window, jumping out onto the grass with a small thud. Tex was getting ready to leave. That much I was sure of. I'd lied to the girls about shooting, knowing I would miss my chance to tail him if I stayed.
I ran over to the black Mercedes and jumped in. It was newer. Not familiar to Tex, who always saw me drive the Range Rover, even though the Mercedes was actually my car. I quickly pulled out of our lot and drove around back, so nobody would see me. Then inched through the gate and waited at the end of our property, by the cows. Within minutes, Tex sped by in the Range Rover, sunglasses on, and attention totally focused in on everything straight ahead. I smiled as one more thing clicked into place. I'd been counting on him driving the Range Rover. My plans would have been totally shot had he not driven that car. A moment of pure genius had washed over me as I realized that the same tracker stupid Phoenix had injected into me was amongst all the gear Nixon had in the gun room, as I like to call it. It was only too easy to slip one between the back seat of the SUV and download the app on my phone. I waited a good 5 minutes before taking off. And what do you know? Tex had stopped around 15 miles later at a pretty upscale restaurant and bar called Tapas. I parked across the street a few cars back and waited. It was now or never, and I had all the time in the world.
Chapter 58. Too many men involved meant one thing: elimination. Tex. I was going to officially kill Phoenix. The men I was supposed to be tailing, complete and utter fools. No, really. They poured in and out of the restaurant, drinking, sucking down cigars like they didn't cause cancer, and laughing loudly. Each of them was too involved in conversation to even look down the street. Did they really think they were safe here? I didn't recognize any faces, though Alfonso did make an appearance once when he came outside to smoke a cigar and talk to the circle of men. They were all in their late 50s to early 60s. It made me sick to think of what they were involved in. It didn't bother me in the least that I'd be the one introducing them to the devil. After all, they'd been in charge of one of the worst prostitution rings known to the Cosa Nostra. It had started with the DeLangs, and I thought it had ended the night I killed my father. I was wrong. As Phoenix so nicely pointed out by way of Luca, two men were constantly reaching behind their heads, scratching at their upper backs, twitchy, meaning they were used to distracting with their hands while they used the other hand to pull out a gun. I made a note of it on the photographs I'd brought with me. Another man's eyes were downcast as he tossed dice in the air, up and down, waiting ever so patiently. He'd be the first to pull a gun, the last to die. His movements were smooth, fluid. Another man found everything hilarious. He was most likely drunk, stumbling all over the place and hitting people on the back. A slight limp made him an easy kill. Probably had a broken kneecap at one point in his life. I continued watching, memorizing their movements like a musician would memorize music. That's what it was to me. Watching people was an art. It was studying each breath, each step, each slouch. People were easy to read. They were my antelope, and I was the lion. Finally, most of them shuffled in after about 2 hours of constantly walking in and out of the restaurant. They'd most likely drink red wine, toast to what I'm sure they assumed was a new era for the Campisi family underneath Alfonso. After all, everything fell into place. They scared me into hiding, or so they thought, after threatening me and Mo, and by doing so secured themselves an invitation with the rest of the American Mafia. To them, it was finally a homecoming. To me, it was a really fancy funeral. Time to go. I started the car and looked in my rearview mirror. Well, shit. I licked my lips and slammed the steering wheel as I watched Mo. She was looking in my car and at the restaurant. My body shook with terror. She had no idea the danger she'd put herself in, or the absolute chaos that would happen if she were caught. Everything Phoenix and I worked for, gone, done. I needed to draw her away from the restaurant. With another curse, I pulled out and started speeding towards my bar. Mo followed at a fast pace but stayed a few cars back. The minute I pulled up to the restaurant, I peeled around the parking lot and parked out back. Dust shot up from my sudden acceleration, Turning off the car with a jerk, I ran around the building and watched as she pulled in and looked around. Gotcha.
Chapter 59. If you try to sneak up on a boss, make sure he isn't aware of it. Mo. Where had he gone? I licked my lips and leaned over the steering wheel. His car could be parked out back, but that meant he was probably going inside the building. I could go home, but facing him sounded like a better idea. So I swallowed the anxiety building inside of me and reached for the door handle, slowly pushing it open. Until it was jerked out of my grasp, and a menacing text was filling the space between me and the outside world. Have fun on your little stakeout? He asked calmly. Did you? I retorted. He leaned his muscled arms against the top of the car and bore down on me. Oh, I'm about to. Before I could move or scream or do anything, he jerked me away from the car and tossed me over his shoulder. I tried to reach for my gun, but it was impossible with the way he was carrying me. Put me down, I snarled. Tex ignored me as he waltzed into the noisy bar and carried me through the main area towards the back. Everything okay, boss? The bartender asked. Perfect. Tex's grip on my body tightened. I may be a while. Oh, hell. I squirmed against him, but it was impossible to move. I needed to wait until he set me down before I reached for anything. Remembering all the training the guys had given me, specifically Tex, I let my body go limp in his arms. With a grunt, his grip released just as we stepped into a dark room. The door slammed behind us. I kept my body relaxed. Tex's grip loosened even more as he set me on the floor, trying to steady me with his hands so I didn't fall over. I teetered towards him like I was going to pass out. Then, as fast as I could, I knelt and jerked two blades from each boot. The lights were off as moonlight filtered through the only tiny window in the corner of the room. I could see Tex's teeth, but nothing else. I backed away and held up the knives. Mo. Tex's gravelly voice sounded exhausted. Put the knives down. They flickered in the moonlight as he approached, until I was almost back against the wall, the only place where the light was shining enough for me to see him and him me. You'll have to take them from me first, I sneered. Tex's solid face cracked into a grin. Oh, sweetheart, I would love nothing more. He moved so fast I almost didn't get out of the way fast enough, as his hands came from mine. I fell down to the floor and sliced his jeans with each knife, then rolled away. Dust caked my legs and boots. Cursing, Tex looked down. Mo, these were my favorite jeans, he said, in a sarcastic tone filled with mock hurt. I think I improved the look. Tex lunged for me, gripping my hands and jolting one knife free, while I held the other in my right. I twisted into him and used all my strength to hit the inside of his ribs. Grunting, he stumbled back only enough for me to move a foot before he gripped my leather jacket in his hands. I twisted out of it and reached for my gun with my left hand. Tex threw the leather jacket to the ground and smiled. Fine. You want to play? You want to beat the shit out of me? Will that make it better, Mo? What the hell can I do that will convince you how much I loathe you? His eyes flashed. We don't exist anymore, Mo. Sorry, but that's the world we live in. You think I wouldn't hesitate to kill you? You think I care if you hate me? So what? Hate me. So what? Shoot me. But at least make it a fair fight. Drop the gun, drop the knife, We both know I helped train you. Come on, Mo. The more he taunted, the more pissed I became. But I knew what he was doing. Egging me on, using that as a tactic to get me to snap and spring at him, so he could display my weakness. Instead, I calmly put the safety back on the gun, held it out in front of me, and dropped it. It clattered to the ground, along with my knife. Scared? I asked, holding up my hands. Girls with fists terrify me. Tex bared his teeth in a predatory smile. Plus, I hate tickle fights. You know this. I'll try to keep your balls attached, but I can't make any promises, Tex. Aw, can't have sex with me so you don't want anyone else to either? Please, I snorted, like you could perform without my help. He laughed and took a step toward me, raising his hands in a boxing stance. Don't be pissed if I break your nose, Mo. But look on the bright side. You always wanted a nose job, right? Think of it as a step in the right direction. Say it with me. Plastic surgery. Never mind, the balls go. I shrugged. Hope you're not too attached. Aw, baby. I think you're the one attached. He swung lazily in my direction, taunting me as we began dancing around each other. It's cute. I swung with my left, then tried a knee to his ribs. He deflected with his hands, pushing me away. What is? Your attachment to your manhood. I ducked as he swung at me again and landed a sidekick to his right thigh. He winced but said nothing. I knew it hurt. Most men are, Mo. Most women are, too, but hey, I got no complaints. Want to hear him now? I hit with my right fist and tried an upper hook, deflected at every turn. I tried a front kick, then spun into a roundhouse. He gripped my leg and flipped me on my back, hovering over me. You're too slow. Am I? I twisted my legs around his waist and flipped him onto his back as I landed a blow to his cheek. His head barely moved as a smile curved across his lips. So what? I let you beat me and you feel better about being abandoned? Why are you tailing those men? I punched him again, my knuckles starting to hurt. He grinned. I'd die before telling you. So die. I grit my teeth and landed another blow to his temple, before he gripped me by the waist and lifted me into the air, slamming me onto the cement, then pulling me up like I weighed nothing. Why can't you just be a normal girl? He raged, pushing me against the wall, trapping me with his body. Why can't you go cry and spend money and drink wine? Throw darts at my face. Why can't you be normal? I tilted my chin towards him and whispered, You wouldn't love a normal girl. His eyes shifted, his breathing ragged as his warm body pressed me harder against the wall. I can't protect you if you keep following me. Who said I need protection? Those men would rape you. Tex pounded his hand into the wall next to my head. They would rip you apart, limb by limb, for as much as breathing their same air. You want to keep tailing me? Fine. Just don't expect me to be able to save you when they sell your body to the highest bidder. Air whooshed out of my lungs. Alfonso's men? Tex froze. I quickly did the calculations. Will they be there Thursday? Mo? Tex shook his head. Go home. Go to bed. This is done. I don't know how else to tell you without freaking losing my mind. We are done. His voice wavered. We are nothing. I stood on my tiptoes and gripped his face with my hands. Liar. His mouth opened, and I kissed him.
Chapter 60. Kissing the enemy is always a rush. That's why people do it. Tex. My mind only registered her kiss. Nothing else existed. Nothing else mattered. I gripped her elbows with my hands and slid her up the wall. I had nothing left. No control. There was nobody there to stop me. Nobody there to tell me what to do. And that's when it clicked. I don't know how or why, but by doing things Phoenix's way, I was still allowing myself to be a puppet, used in order to put an end to something horrible. But what if... I moaned as Mo's grip tightened around my neck, her hands dug into my hair. What if I trusted someone? What if I trusted her enough? What if I loved her enough? Mo, I gasped. If you say we can't do that again, I'm shooting you, Tex. I'm dead serious. I laughed. I couldn't help it. Are you laughing at me? Swear I'll do it, Compeezy. Cool your jets, Abandonado. I set her on her feet and took a step back. The woman wouldn't stop. I'd done everything I could, short of injuring her, to get her to understand that we couldn't be together. And here she was. Nixon hadn't tailed me, neither had anyone else. Mo. Leave it to Mo. So? She crossed her arms. You ready to tell me why you're being such a jackass to everyone and going all stormtrooper while everyone else is Jedi? Admit it, I'd look like hell in white, Mo. I leaned back against the table and crossed my arms. Ah. She stepped forward and mimicked my movement, crossing her arms. So this is about the family color? No one's going to be mad if you wear black, Tex. I hung my head, my smile growing to epic proportions. Yeah, I've really been losing sleep over it. Just think, all those sleepless nights solved by one fight with me. Right, I swallowed. Mo Abandonado, the answer to everything. My eyes widened at the sudden idea popping into my head. What's up, crazy eyes? I opened my mouth, then closed it. What if what? The earth was flat? You're a genius. I rushed toward her and grabbed her face, kissing her mouth so hard I felt her wince. Huh? She almost tripped when I released her. Make it real. I laughed out loud. Well, damn, Phoenix, you could have just spelled it out for me. I'm Mo? She waved in front of me. Can Trace and Mill keep a secret? I asked. Yeah? Her eyes narrowed. I can too, you know. No secrets from you. Well, I mean one secret. But what I need to know is this. How good of an actress are you? She put her hands on her hips. I once convinced Nixon I saw dead people, and he believed it for 2 years. Good girl. I held out my hand. Now I need you to listen very carefully.
Chapter 61. And the lies continue. Mo. Are you ready? Tex asked. Once we pulled up to the house. It was dark and I knew that Nixon was going to be pissed I'd been out so long. I'd texted him that I'd taken a drive after my run, but I knew he was still going to unleash on me. I popped my knuckles. Yep, I can do this. Tex laughed. Right. More like you're going to really enjoy it. That too. I smiled. Think of it as payback for breaking my heart. You know, he nodded. If we weren't sworn enemies, I'd totally love you. Aw, I elbowed him hard in the ribs. I'd still hate you. Fine. He grinned. Fine. I chewed my lower lip. With a curse, he pulled me into the shadows and kissed me soundly. his mouth dancing with mine like it was meant for me. Like he was meant for me. My heart hammered in my chest as he kissed each cheek and then kissed me on the mouth again, his tongue sliding past my lower lip, only to retreat as he stepped back.
Yeah. Good thing we're enemies.
I straightened my leather jacket. Until the end. He held out his hand and enclosed it around mine.
I'll hate you until the end.
I nodded. Try not to cry. Wincing, Tex stepped back.
I want to have kids someday. Remember that, Mo.
Can't make any promises, I sang. Now let's go. I walked in the house, fury etched in my every movement as the door slammed in Tex's face.
Mo, get back here, now! No!
I roared, turning on my heel.
You sick bastard! How could you?
Silverware clattered to the ground as every head around the dinner table was focused in on us. It seemed even Luca and Frank were visiting for a nice, calm, normal dinner. Too bad. So sad. Tex reached for my arm and pulled me roughly against him. I turned around and slapped his face so hard my hand stung.
Don't you dare touch me!
I'll touch whatever the hell I want.
He grinned crudely.
You keep forgetting. I could own you if I want.
Out of the corner of my eye, I saw Nixon stand.
Aw, baby.
I angled my head and threw a right hook to his face. He staggered to the side.
You wish.
Tex rubbed his jaw.
Well, now I don't. Hell, you never brought that type of violence into the bedroom.
I had no idea, Mo. I could have totally tied you up.
I slapped him again. He gripped my hands.
Do it again. Regardless, you're nothing to me. You, your family, in a few days, I'll be a distant memory.
I smiled sweetly. Not if I kill you first.
I'll sleep with one eye open.
And one finger on the trigger, lover. I need him in the balls for good measure, then stormed into the kitchen and poured myself a glass of wine. When Tex was done cursing, I slowly made my way to the freezer and pulled out one solid ice cube.
I know it's kind of big, considering what you got down there.
I tossed it at his face.
But try to make it work, Compeasy.
You're lucky I don't shoot you for your disrespect, he sneered,
batting the ice out of the air with his free hand. To kill me, you'd have to kill Nixon, and Chase, and Sergio, probably Phoenix, definitely Luca.
Wow, bringing down all the families on yourself. That your big bad plan, Godfather? Make everyone hate you?
If I have to.
He stood to his full height.
Besides, what's a few more deaths on my hands after Thursday?
With that, he walked out of the room, leaving me scowling in his direction. Nixon was the first to speak.
Mind telling me what that was about?
Mind telling me why you didn't shoot him?
I fired back. Nixon rolled his eyes.
Shooting Tex wouldn't help the rage, Mo. Plus, regardless of how awful he's being, I kind of need him to live for at least 3 more days.
And after? I asked.
We'll pick straws.
Nixon grinned. Chase snorted.
Dibs on the short one.
You cannot kill him.
Luca slammed his hands onto the table and stood.
He is the key to everything. You kill him, and you sign your own death sentence.
Frank stared straight ahead, his mind appearing to work 1,000 miles a minute. Phoenix met my gaze, his eyes piercing, knowing. I rolled my eyes at him and gave him the finger. Let the countdown begin.
Chapter 62. There is no truth, only suspicion. Phoenix. You didn't find that weird? I asked again. Not weird at all? Sergio took a long sip of his wine and stared out the living room window. Mo's always been a passionate girl, and Tex, well, he's coming into his own. After Thursday. You mean after everyone dies? Right. Sergio shrugged. Things will fall back into place. I rolled my eyes at his back and walked off. He was too calm. If anything, that irritated me even more. He reminded me way too much of Luca. Calm, cold, calculating. I'd officially had enough drama for the evening. With a yawn, I made my way to the guest room and stepped inside. B was sitting on my bed, reading. What the hell are you doing? She didn't look up, just turned the page. Reading? Why? What's it look like I'm doing? You're in my bed. It's Nixon's house, Nixon's bed, she said in a bored tone. Did you know that Edward's a vampire? Dear God, deliver me. This was my penance for being a bastard, torture by twilight. Not okay. You've been sheltered entirely too much. Who gave you the book? Name and social security number, if you please. I had someone to murder. Trace? I held back a groan. There went that plan. How kind of her. He's so hot. You can't see him. B looked up from the book. In my head, I totally can. Rolling my eyes seemed childish, but it was exactly what I wanted to do. Please don't describe him. I'm tired, and the last thing I want to talk about is fake vampires. She sighed. You're lost, man. Man? What? Like we were bros hanging out now? B. I licked my lips and tried a different tactic. One that didn't have me sobbing and begging for her to get out of my room. I really need to get some sleep. She lifted a shoulder. So sleep. In my bed. She scooted over. Her vanilla perfume hit me full force with that simple movement. Clenching my fists, I took a few deep breaths. It didn't help. Sweating, I croaked, B, I sleep alone. Finally, she put the book on the nightstand and crossed her arms, making her body look that much better, if that was even possible, in her tiny tank top and shorts. But when you protected me, you stayed with me. To keep you alive. I clenched my jaw until it popped. Trust me, you're safe here. Her eyes welled with tears. Please, Phoenix. Tears. I did not work well with tears, and she knew it. Sighing, I reached back and peeled off my shirt, then walked over to my dresser, pulling it open to grab a pair of track pants, then slamming it shut. Without another word, I dropped my jeans to the floor and put on the pants, then turned off the light. Thanks, B whispered. I just... thanks. She had no idea that her version of safe was deranged, almost sick. She was lying next to a rapist, next to a murderer, next to an absolute monster, and yet that was how she found peace at night. While me, I found none, none at all. Not when I heard her finally succumb to sleep, or when her arm reached for my body, or when she curled next to me and sighed. It was hell. And I knew she might sleep like the dead. But I was a live wire, staring wide-eyed at the ceiling, telling my body it wasn't responding, forcing my breathing to even out, and lying to myself once again that I felt nothing for that vanilla-scented beauty asleep in my arms.
Chapter 63. Waiting for death. Not the best way to spend a sunny day. Sergio. By the time Wednesday night rolled around, I was ready to take a gun to Tex, or maybe even Mo. The fighting had gotten worse. How was that even possible? If anything, Tex had turned from a cocky, disrespectful little shit into a rageaholic with a serious god complex. When nobody poured him a cup of coffee, he yelled at Mo to fix him something on account of women should serve their men, the bosses. That earned him a punch to the gut and a threat with a knife. Swear Nixon almost unleashed on him. But we all knew, until Thursday, there was nothing we could do, until things played out. Tex was untouchable. So I did nothing while he cleaned his guns in front of me, then threatened to engrave my name on each bullet just to be sure. Every time I approached Luca, he told me to leave it. Right, leaving it meant we were all dead, but I'd done everything Luca had asked me to. I'd done right by the family. In the end, it probably wouldn't be enough. Fighting erupted in the kitchen. Groaning, I jumped up from my comfortable seat in the living room and made my way towards the yelling. When I turned the corner, I almost walked back to my spot. Maybe if I ignored the problem, it wouldn't be a problem.
You son of a bitch!
Mo held Tex at knife point.
How could you even say that about us? About your family? We practically raised you!
Raised me?
Tex roared, his face contorting with rage.
I was your puppet, nothing more than a pawn in a bigger game. You protected me so you could use me, just like you're using me tomorrow. Tex.
Nixon looked ready to snap as he took a tentative step forward, pushing Mo to the side.
This isn't you. Whoever keeps starting these fights, yelling, attacking Mo, this isn't the kid I grew up with. You forget, we were raised together.
By your sick father.
Tex scowled. Nixon's teeth clenched as Chase slowly approached the group.
Actually my sick father, but details.
He waved his hand in the air.
Tex, tomorrow you end it. Tonight? Can't we just imagine a world where you aren't pushing us away in order to distract us from the bigger picture?
What?
Tex hissed. Chase and Nixon shared a look. Damn, things just got interesting. And here I thought Nixon and Chase were just agreeing to Luca's terms because they had no choice. Leaning against the wall, I crossed my arms and waited. Tex's chest heaved with exertion as Nixon tilted his head, his eyes calculating.
You'll always choose family, Tex. And that's fine. Blood wins out. Pretty sure we already had that conversation. But you should know one thing.
Tex rolled his eyes.
We're brothers.
Chase said in a low voice.
Blood does always win, but we've shared blood.
He held up his palm.
All four of us.
Phoenix flinched from his spot near the other doorway.
And that means that regardless of the choices you make tomorrow, you aren't joining the enemy. You're defeating him, because the minute you take your spot, you'll finally be home. But that doesn't mean we aren't still here, living, breathing, fighting for you.
Nixon slapped Chase on the back and zeroed in on Tex.
Fight all you want, man, but we'll stick by your side until the end, even if the end means our deaths. We aren't stupid. It's possible you'll have a choice to make tomorrow, and if there's anything we've learned about Phoenix's situation, an honorable death is a good death.
Nixon!
Trace half pleaded. While Mill stared at the hardwood beneath her feet, Mo had moved around the kitchen and was standing by the girls. Tex seemed to be weighing his options as he looked around the kitchen, and then a smile curved his lips as his gaze met Nixon's cold stare. With swift movements, he walked until his nose was almost touching Nixon's. The tension was so thick I wasn't sure if I should intervene or just let things play out. I glanced at Phoenix out of the corner of my eye. His fists were clenched tightly at his sides. If there was going to be a fight, I'd have to save Tex. Damn, but that felt wrong. I had to keep him alive. At all costs. Nixon's breathing was ragged as his eyes narrowed into tiny slits. Tex grinned smugly, then whispered, "Volpe."
Not what I was expecting. Nixon's eyes went wild as they darted back and forth, and then with a cruel smile he reared back and punched Tex in the face. Tex staggered backwards, blood streaming down his chin. He nodded his head once and sauntered down the hall, cursing the abandonado family the entire way. I scratched my head in confusion.
"Did he just call you a fox?"
Chase met Nixon's stare. They both turned to look at Phoenix, who had gone completely still.
"What the hell am I missing?"
I asked calmly. Nixon sighed and then turned around.
"Nothing worth discussing. The commission is tomorrow. I suggest everyone get some sleep."
Too confused and tired to even prod further, I threw my hands in the air and walked down the hall to my guest room. The minute the door closed, I pulled out my cell and texted Luca. Me. "Tomorrow's the day we find out what Tex is made of. Phoenix, too." Luca. "Trust the plan." Me. "That's the problem. I don't trust anyone." Luca. "Maybe it's time you start. Have a good night's sleep. Things will work out. They always do." Scowling, I typed back, "Absolute power corrupts absolutely." Luca. "Absolute power corrupts absolutely. Only when we allow it. There is always a choice, Sergio. Never forget that." Too frustrated to respond, I threw my phone against the bed and sunk low into the mattress, my head in my hands. I went through every strategy, every outcome, every plan I'd helped Phoenix, Luca, and Frank formulate since the beginning. I'd done the best I could. I'd come out of hiding in order to make sure that the family was secure. The only issue was, I felt like I had lost my humanity in the process. I guess that was what happened when you're a death dealer.